Welcome to Physique Star Radio, hosted by Ian Lauer. Physique Star Radio brings you wall-to-wall coverage of NPC and IFBB men's physique competitions, personalities, competitors, lifestyles, training, and all the latest news you could ask for. Now, here's your host, Ian Lauer.
Welcome to Physique Star Radio. I'm your host, Ian Lauer, and I have a couple great guests lined up for you today. But before we get into those interviews, I'd like to chat with you first about the NPC Excalibur, which was just this past weekend in Culver City. This was the largest regional NPC competition, at least in California, in history. This was a monster. We had over 500 total competitors, and a lot of those guys and gals were physique competitors, especially the guys. There were a ton of physique guys out there. They had a number in 45+. They had at least 13 guys in 45+. They had probably close to 20 or more in 35 and up. And then, of course, they had the six height classes, A, B, C, D, E, and F. And those classes were all stacked as well. Ton of guys. So, great turnout, really awesome event. I was over there for a while, and boy, it was warm in the auditorium just because of all the bodies there to see the competition. But before we get into, like I said, this interview with some of these competitors, I want to talk with you a little bit about who won the show. So here's the news. The 45 and up winner was Keith Baker. This guy's been around the circuit for both years that the division's been around and always makes a great appearance. So congratulations to Keith for bringing that one home. And then in first place in the 35 and up was Gene Amogus, A-M-O-G-U-I-S. I'm not going to pretend to know how to pronounce Gene's last name, but he was first place in the 35 and up. And then in Class A, which is up to 5'7", we had in first place Ty Tran. So Ty Tran in Class A. In B, which was 5'7", to 5'8", first place was Jeremy Buendia. And then C, 5'8 to 5'9. First place went to Julian Grubbs. In Class D, which was 5'9 to 5'11. And Class D was huge. It looks like they had about 25, 35 guys. It was a monster of a division. And first place went to Matt Mendron. So congrats to Matt in a big class there. E-class, 5'11 to 6 feet tall, Keith Baker, who won the men's physique 45 and up, also pulled in a first place there in the open, so congrats again. And then over 6 feet, which again was another big class, first place went to David Tossin. So David Tossin bringing in first place. So great exhibition here, lots of great competitors, and really good to see guys like Keith Baker, who is 45 and up, also taking it home in the open. So congrats to all these guys and all the great competitors that showed up at the NPC Excalibur. Now, our first guest today was a competitor at the Excalibur and finished in the top five, I believe for the fifth time, top five, Tim Roberts. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Ian?
Good. Sorry for making you listen through all that ranting and rambling, which I like to
do. Oh, it's not a problem at all. Not a problem.
So you were at the
yes.
show. Can you tell us a little bit about the spirit and what you experienced backstage, maybe that was different or the same as other shows you've done?
Well, I can definitely say the volume was a lot higher. I mean, like you said, it was one of the largest shows of the year. One of the cooler things that I noticed was, you know, the camaraderie was a lot higher. There's a lot more groups of people that you can tell have trained together. You can tell have really prepped almost through the entire process with a team-like spirit. And that's something that I've always kind of encouraged by, you know, publicly hanging out with Shaka, showing them that, you know, even though we compete against each other, it's not really like that. You know, there's a lot of stuff that are out of our hands, and the least that we can do is, you know, have fun while we do this. So, a lot of really good spirit backstage. One of the things also I noticed right away is the quality of the competitor is a lot higher now. You know, some of these guys are national league, and it's nice to be able to have you know, that level of competitor at such a regional show, and also especially have the regional show be so large. It just shows that it's growing in popularity.
Well, yeah, and like you said, the quality of the competitor. I think part of the difference you're seeing early on, you saw a wide range of conditioning, and now I think the guys are starting to understand that you need to come in shape. This doesn't mean come in bodybuilder-esque, but you do need to come in shape and lean with some good muscles. So I think it's starting to take shape when it comes to that. So it's good to see, and any given day, it could be anybody's ball game out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I was just looking at the scorecards, and they had you anywhere from sixth to third, depending on the judge. So fortunately, you were still finished top five, but even one judge had you up as high as third in your class. So you never really know, and that just goes to show you, even the judges, it's not always the exact same across the
No,
board.
absolutely not. And, I always encourage my clients and the people that I work out with that compete as well that, don't directly listen to one judge. Really take an aspect of what their opinion is and try to really implement it in your own way. And I know that sounds somewhat vague, but truly, you need to be taking what they say and apply it physically to your training. I think it really does feed us a lot when we get these subjected opinions from everybody. And the worst thing you want to be is perfect. I think no one's perfect. I think we all can improve. And that's why we hit the gym every day.
Oh, definitely. And when it comes to the judge's feedback, that's an important note. It's not that you don't want to listen to feedback, but what you need to do when you're getting feedback from multiple judges is to distill it down to the most essential elements to work on. Because if there are seven things you're trying to fix at once, chances are you're not going to improve any of them enough to make a
Excellent.
difference. But if there are two things that multiple judges are telling you, then there's a good chance that those two things are something that you should work on in order to compete at a higher level. Now, the question then becomes, is it something you're willing to do? If it's something that you're willing to do for your body, let's say it's, they want your chest bigger and your waist smaller. Well, then if that's what you want to do, then definitely by all means apply it. Now, if they say, we want you to, I don't know what it would be. Like, let's say you need to lose 4 inches off your arms, and you say, well, I don't know if that's for me. So those are the kind of things you have to weigh. But if you're getting the same feedback from multiple judges, there's a good chance that that's what you really need to focus on.
Absolutely. I mean, I can agree with that only because there's been multiple things that in the beginning I had to change, and I feel blessed to have narrowed it down to just a few. And it does improve your ranking, and it's a good feeling to know that your training has been more strategically placed, and that you're on stage. There's a definite level of confidence that comes with knowing that you've improved, and that's also, it may not be on the scorecard, but I'll tell you what, right now I am one of the larger things that they really appreciate, and the judges can't actually score you on it, I don't think, but that's improvement, and when you come in one condition and then you come in and you've improved, they really do enjoy that, and it means that you're listening and you're respecting the committee and you're really trying to understand the game.
Well, right, and you're applying the feedback you're getting, and that's what I say. It's important to make sure you take the feedback and utilize what you can. If it's the same feedback you're getting now, if you come up there and one judge says you're way too dark and one says you're way too light, well, then they're directly
Yes.
conflicting. And it doesn't help you. But if you get a trend of advice, then you definitely want to work on that, because you don't want to just be asking people questions to not apply any of the answers, because then you're wasting everybody's time and
Absolutely.
nobody's happy.
Absolutely. And there's always going to be cosmetic things, your shorts, your hair, your I know even some of the guys put makeup on real light, and your tan. A lot of stuff will be cosmetic, but I really try to stress, don't really necessarily worry about too many of those aspects. I mean, obviously, if they keep telling you don't wear those types of shorts, that would be a specific thing. But, the body's the most important thing. And bottom line, everyone's coming in the absolute best condition that they possibly can. So it really does come down to stage presence, your poise, and how you're going to present that body, but not just muscle. You want it to have some type of character.
Right. Well, and you'd mentioned, you know, shorts, and it was just one of the things you mentioned. And one of the things I like to do is post on Facebook for guys to ask questions of competitors and guests on the show. And one of the questions was, where's the cheapest or best place to buy board shorts? This came in from Philip Michael Williams. What's your take on that? Where would you recommend finding board shorts to?
You know what? To be honest, it definitely, in my opinion, my method won't necessarily help most because I do actually like going to multiple places. I find that when you listen to the masses, and you listen to what the majority say, you're going to end up on stage with the same shorts as someone. And that's a really bad feeling. So what I've been trying to do is I try to go to different places. I do keep in the back of my mind, you know, when I'm at different places traveling and stuff like that, I'll pick up a pair of shorts in Chicago. I'll pick up a pair of shorts in, you know, New York. And it really does actually play a great role because you end up having a fantastic pair of shorts that really does complement your body very well. And you've had a chance to look around and in other places where your competition won't ever be. So I would actually, in that aspect, right, say, don't go to places where you think they're going to have a lot of shorts, a lot of good deals. Try to find a pair. I've gone to American Eagle Outfitters and I've got a pair of shorts that's gotten me first place twice. So, I mean, you can really just keep your eyes open and keep in mind that you need a pair of shorts that complements your body and you don't want to be too flamboyant with the color choosing. I mean, some of these guys come out like it's, you know, it's, yeah.
It's, the sequence it's, and everything, and, yeah.
You know, there's a time and place for everything.
Yeah, it's the shorts are still an interesting subject of debate because you want something that draws a bit of attention, but not something that is the attention. And I think that that's part of it. And something that's flattering to your physique. And I actually wore the same pair of shorts for the last two shows because I got some feedback from a judge, and it made me believe that the pattern that I went with and the way it was set up was right for my body, and it actually worked. I mean, fortunately, two national shows, I got second place in both of them. And it's not just shorts, of course. It's everything that you do going into it. But you want that. Absolutely. You want those to be right as well. And those I found at a Big Five, which if you're not from California, that's just a sporting goods store. And I was there randomly for another product, and I just happened to see them. They were on the clearance rack, like ridiculous. It was like $13. I'm like, are you kidding me? These are exactly the color and everything I wanted, you know. If you're just getting started and you're just trying to maybe pick up a few pairs, because the other thing is when you go to a show, you want to bring two or three pairs just so in case someone else has the same pair or two people have the same pair, you can switch it up as long as you're as comfortable in the other pair as the others. But
that's a great tip, actually.
It happened. It happened to me. I was actually at Team U this year, and I had two pairs, and I wore my yellow pair, but I had my orange in reserve, and another guy was there with the exact same pair of orange shorts. And I saw at Excalibur a guy that had the exact same shorts again. Fortunately, I mean, I wasn't competing, so it wasn't an issue, but that happened again. So multiple pairs when you travel, always a good idea. And then I can tell you this from my girlfriend's experience with bikini. Make sure you travel with it on your person, meaning in your carry-on if you're traveling to a show. Do not put it in your luggage. Keep it with you and keep it in a Ziploc baggie so if you have food in there, you want to keep it from being lost first off. It's obviously easier to replace a pair of shorts than a bikini that these girls fork out hundreds for, but you want to make sure you have your suit when you get where you're going. The other stores, though, I've found success at would be like a Ross or TJ Maxx. Sometimes like these cheaper stores, you can go and get five or six pairs as long as they fit right. And then you have some variety. And then when you go to some of the other stores, it is just keep your eyes open because you never know what's going to strike your fancy.
Absolutely.
And then if you have a few pairs, then you have options to work with because you're right. You don't want the prom nightmare that Tim was alluding to there earlier. Another question here. This again comes from Philip Michael Williams. He's doing his first show on March 1st, and he wants to know when to start prepping.
I think it really varies depending upon your starting position. I know that if you are just starting and you are not an athletic person and you are someone who is encouraged by friends and family to do it because you're a naturally good physique, I would say 4 weeks. I would say 4 months. I'm sorry. 12-week plan would definitely get you in a situation where you would look Pretty spot on. And I mean, that comes along with having a good coach, good diet program, you know, having the aspects needed to train properly for a show. But, you know, I mean, I've even myself at my current conditioning, even I give myself a minimum of 30 days to get myself ready. And, you know, there's a lot of things closer to the show the last 2 weeks that, you know, you want to, you know, maybe take something out, you want to add something in. And it's those variances in your own diet that are really going to play a role in that final tune in. But yeah, I would say anywhere from, you know, I would definitely say 3 to even 6 months, just because, you know, some bodybuilders actually, you know, their prep is about 60 weeks, which is, you know, about 2 months past a year. So give yourself plenty of time, really judge upon your current physique and be honest with yourself. You know, you don't want to look like a fool on stage. You want to have a good time.
Well, yeah, you want to take long enough to come in happy with where you are. That's really it. And it may be that it's 8 weeks if you're in good shape pretty much all the time, and it may be 16 or 20 if you are maybe newer to the gym and you're wanting to get up there. But what I will say, and I can't stress it enough, if you are interested in doing a show, you need to go see a show.
I will agree with that 100%. Actually, I hope so. Don't see it.
There are resources. I'm sure you could hop on YouTube, or you can hop on, rxmuscle.com or whatever. You could look at resources to see pictures or videos and things like that, and that will help. But there is not a substitute for actually going to a show. Because one of the things is a tan. You need to see the difference between someone that uses a professional tan service, someone that just does regular tanning with no tan, and someone that applies it themselves, and someone that applies themselves and knows how to do it. Because tan is very important, and you just need to be able to see that, experience that. You need to see how the show is run, how the guys walk on, you know, front, back. It's just there are so many things that, unless you're going to hire a coach, which is another great option, even if you do, you still should see a show. But there's so many things that you can learn intuitively just by being there.
I mean,
that you can't replace.
It's one thing to try and do a show, and I mean, I think that goes with anything. You know, you want to see the process. You want it, whether you're opening a business or playing a sport, you want to see how it's done. And that really helps calibrate your mental, like, preparation for the training and for what you're going to do to yourself.
Right. Well, yeah, and then you get an idea of more about exactly what you're shooting for, which is great. And you go and you'll say, oh man, I'm close. I'm ready to do this. Or it's like, okay, I need to add an extra month, or so on and so forth. One of the other things you're going to see there is also posing, and that can play a critical role. And this question came in from Ferris Brown on the Facebook page as well, which if you want to check us out, it's pages/men's-physique. And Ferris asks, how often do you practice posing prior to a competition? How about
you,
Tim?
What?
How often do you practice prior?
I think initially, if I'm starting prep, I will do posing for about a half hour after just a single session during the week, so about once a week. And I'll increase the intensity of my posing, so maybe 3 times a week for about 30 minutes. And really, what I'm trying to get is a comfort with the way that I present my body. And I think people are getting the posing a little confused, where, you know, they're really going too by the book and they look very stiff on stage. They don't look like they're having fun. And, you know, the object of being up there is you're trying to present your body. You're trying to contort slightly. You're trying to look, you know, intelligent, and you're trying.
You're moving, right? When you said contort, you started moving into a pose, didn't you?
I'm flexing right now.
I could hear it. I could hear it.
And, you know, and you do have to access your body in certain ways. You know what? If you have a smaller chest, which I have been known to have, I get my shoulder out of the way. And it really helps show that, hey, look, there's my chest. When I do a side pose, I'll face my chest a little bit more towards the crowd, so I look a little bit bigger. So it's little things like that. That you're going to need to find out, that you're going to need to see when you're posing. And it's those smaller sessions before the show that are going to help you kind of tune it in. Because I see some of these guys, I swear, Ian, the first time they pose is in the mirror in the pump room.
And this is something too that's important when it comes to that. And there's, first off, there's a comfort level on stage. If you're comfortable on stage, you've done some other things, it does help. But there's still something to be said for proprioception, knowing where your limbs are, knowing what they're doing. And unless you are that guy that's standing in the mirror and standing in a physique-esque pose all the time, you don't really know how your body's going to look. And you have to think from a judge's vantage point, how does your body look and how does your body look best? And then it's practicing that in the mirror so you can see and then adjust to it. And then I'm guilty of not practicing it enough, but practicing that without a mirror. Ideally, someone with a camera phone can take some snaps or even video so you can watch it, because there is a way you present to a mirror and then there's a way you present to a sea of people. And you want the way you present to the mirror to be the same as the people, but unfortunately, we don't always make our body do that. So that is really, really the challenge. And definitely, the more you practice, the better you get. And it really, though, I would say to answer his question,
if you feel like you need to practice every day,
it kind of depends, again, on where you're starting.
Practice every day. You know, feel good about it. There is no one that's going to tell you exactly what you need to do specifically to feel that comfort. It's doing it in front of the mirror and really following along with how you feel with your movement to get to that comfort level. Once you get there, you know, I've been known to superset my exercises with a small bit of posing. You know, I'll do one full circle. After doing arm day or whatever you're going to work out, you know, and there's nothing wrong with doing whatever you need to do to feel that comfort.
Well, yeah, and I think that, and I know you're saying once a week early on you're doing a half hour, then maybe increase frequency two or three times. I found that even small time frames, maybe just a short 5-minute period after a workout, is a good time to do it, because then, first off, you're feeling good about yourself. You have a good pump. Your body's looking better. Just a quick 5 minutes, because let's be honest, in 5 minutes you can go over your front and back pose a number of times.
No doubt. And think about how much time you have on stage.
You're really focusing
on. I mean, you have probably I mean, I think back in the day, we had as much as 12 seconds, you know, when it was just us, when it was just the beginning group of physique, you know. But now it is definitely more dense and the volume is higher, so you have a very limited amount of time. So to go through a 5 to 8 second pose multiple times, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, it definitely would take someone a minimal of 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, and we used to have, you know, quarter turns, which extended the time on stage, but it's much shorter now. So, but I think that personally, one of my favorite ways to prep for a show when it comes to posing is just 5 to 10 minutes at the end of a workout. I find that it's easy to get it in, and you can do it on a regular basis. And I think that's the key when it, like anything else, consistency is the key. And if you're doing shorter periods, you're going to be more consistent with it, and you're going to get more comfortable with it over time. Just say things. But giggity. So, you know, one of the things, I mean, for our listeners, I ran into Tim over at Gold's Venice today. He was up here auditioning, landing sponsorships, making things happen. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring him on here tonight, was to speak with you a bit about sponsorships. Now, you know, there are a number of guys that have turned pro, and they don't understand how to get a sponsor. There are a lot of guys that have done a lot of shows and still have no idea. There are guys like Tim that have done a lot of shows, have placed very well, and they understand how to get sponsors and how to make companies happy. So I know you were trying to scratch some things down. I tried to throw you off by asking you a bunch of random questions. And I was hoping that your paper would get lost, because you know how I feel about scripts. But you know, let's go ahead and get into basically your philosophy and what you like to do when it comes to sponsorships. I know you're with Pharma Freak now, and some other companies.
You know,
so what are you doing? What's working for you?
I definitely give 100% to the marketability of my career. I mean, a lot of these companies, they are in the industry to be successful, and they really encourage their athletes to be as successful as they are. So Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Wait, did you say athletes?
Yeah.
But they want their athletes to be successful.
You know,
and
it's just a good image, you know? I mean, they want to, when you become an athlete for a company and you get a sponsorship, you are embodying the spirit of that company. And it sounds kind of deep, but in a sense, that's what you're doing. And they're labeling you and they're giving you their stuff. And whatever you do, you know, that's kind of like they're doing it too. So what I've really done is I've kind of broken down the variables of getting sponsored into kind of like a process where, you know, you do a few things, you set yourself up right, and then you approach the company that you feel is someone that you can be a part of. So, you know, competing obviously for me has been a great aspect of it. It's a gamble, yes, but it's enough of a gamble where I feel like I have some control over the outcome. And, you know, sponsors love people up there showing off, winning, and it gets a lot of limelight on that person. So one of the first things they want to do is grab those people up that are winning. So I definitely encourage people to do shows. You don't have to just compete. A lot of my buddies are also sponsored by endurance. You know, Excel Gel, Aqua 4. That's a topical cream that help, you know, prevents rashes when we do endurance sports. So really you can do marathons, triathlons, anything that is going to put you in a position to accept an award and be in front of a public. You know, go to these events too, you know, I always see you, Ian, at the events. You're working one-on-one with the company, and it's because you've really done a lot of internal work to be there and be a part of that company. And they really want to have, again, people that are winning, people that are doing well. If you're not part of the company, you're just attending, it's a great opportunity to introduce yourself. No one is going to call you. No one's going to knock on your door. No one is going to, you know, kick anything down to get you to them unless you show some encouragement in their company and show some attractability to what they're doing. So, no doubt. I mean,
right. Definitely.
Of course they're great, Ian. Come on.
You're like, they're my points. Of course they're good points.
Get yourself around people that are either sponsor or they're people that are pros. You know, it's, you know, even though you and I are close, it's great to be around. You always introduce me to new people. And that's one of the things that, you know, please network. Do not be a mute. No sponsorship will pick you because you look cool. They want you to communicate well. They want you to work with people. They want you to have good networking skills. So, get out there and be yourself. You know, don't try to be, you know, someone that you're not, because they will find out very quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's an important point. They don't want someone that just looks cool. And I can tell you from experience that it's much, how do I put it? It's cheaper for a company to hire a fitness model for a day just for a photo shoot and own the rights of those pictures than it is to have an athlete. And that makes sense for companies to do that, unless they're getting an athlete that improves their brand's image outside of that picture. Then it's worth bringing in an athlete. And that's what you have to be thinking is, what can I do beyond the picture?
Yeah, it's absolutely true.
And that's where your social marketing and just being personable can make all the difference.
You know, you've got the image, you're a likable character, but what do you want? You know, so now it's your turn. You know, you've done a lot for that sponsor. What do you want in return from them? So when you're looking, you guys, really look for, are you going to be traveling? You know, do you have free supplements coming towards you? Are you actually going to be able to have the product for free? Are they going to pay for some of the stuff that you'd like to do physically? You know, are they going to pay for your events? Do you even have a salary? Are you a professional? Mm-hmm. Most professional athletes will be approached for a sponsorship and offered a contract and a salary. If you're not a pro, I really wouldn't try to, you know, cry too much about not getting paid. You know, you're getting a lot of free promotion that is worth a lot of money, and you're not paying for any of it. So, you know, being sponsored is a great opportunity nonetheless. And I know a lot of supplements are very expensive. So, you know, to sum this all up, be marketable, be nice, you know, be someone that's a very neutral, approachable person, because in the end, you're going to be able to be with anyone, and you're not going to limit the people that you can have or the potential that you could gain from being somewhat subjective to what you want to do. A lot of people have said, oh, I got approached by this sponsor, but they're not, you know, da, 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 da. And it's like, dude, you know what? Me personally, Ian, I have been sponsored by people who maybe I didn't even necessarily believe in the product, but they paid for traveling. And so I was definitely, you know, that encourages you to figure what the product is, get into it now, because now you're part of it, and have fun with it. You know, we're traveling in the best shape of our life, so there's really no reason to whine.
Well, yeah, and you have to weigh that out when the sponsorship opportunity does come up. It's like, okay, how could I use this product, and how could it apply to what I do, and how could I feel comfortable promoting a product? And that's something that you'll have to, that's a bridge you'll have to cross at some point when you're looking for sponsorships, Yes, early on, you definitely want to find out what your beliefs are when it comes to which supplements you use, so on and so forth, and see which companies match up. Now, it may be that the number one company and what you feel, well, the supplement you like the most may not be the one you get that actually has interest in you. So then you have to learn. You have to take a minute to learn about other companies and see why their products are of high quality as well. And I ran into a guy, and this is, I don't even remember which, it was one of the national shows, and we were talking, and he was convinced that one of the big names was going to pick him up. And that was it. Now, don't get me wrong, there is something to be said for brazen confidence, and I'm all about being confident and believing you're going to land something. However, I've also been in the game long enough to know that if something is said, right. Like, hey, I mean, you might be a great
really
fit,
does
that doesn't
down
mean
to,
you're hired.
You know, a great example I actually don't know the person's name, and I wouldn't say it even if I did, but when I got my Pharma Freaks sponsorship, I actually was told that I beat out a professional bodybuilder out of the sponsorship they were going to give him because I was more marketable, I was more approachable, and I was actually active in the industry, and I wasn't trying to look cool. Even though you know I look really cool.
Right. Well, you do. It's just a byproduct of your sweetness, but yeah. Yeah, well, and that's it. Active in the industry, and that's something where when you're at the Arnold, if you're not working it, or when you're at the Olympia or LA Fit Expo or Europa, any of these shows, being active, going around, talking to people, taking pictures at the different booths with the people, tagging on Facebook, all that stuff is very important that people see that you're getting out there and getting it done. Really, it comes back to like the old days of having a PR person. Well, not everybody has a personal relations specialist, and we essentially are our own PR people when it comes to our social media, unless we hire someone
you're
to do it. So,
right. I mean, that's
you need
exactly
to think
what
of it that way.
I mean, how much are you willing
you are
to do
your
for
own
yourself
PR person.
To self-promote? And if you're willing to do it all, then you're going to get a lot done if you rely on only yourself. You're absolutely right.
But also, discount the idea
I'll agree
100% of
with that.
The value of
no doubt.
Real friends in the business. Because Bill, you have to keep work as if it's only you, but understand that you need others.
No, absolutely not.
I think that's probably one of the best ways to put it.
I hope everybody is understanding.
Have we exhausted your list yet?
Behind these few points that I've made, because I am just a normal guy. You know as well as I do, Ian, that I lost all that weight, and here I am, and it's just, you know, we all have equal opportunities. Please do not get confused. No one owes anyone anything unless you really are indebted to them. So, you know, just get out there, show your face around. If you're as good as you say you are, you're going to get your sponsorship, and you know, just keep being productive, keep being positive. People who endlessly encourage always do very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just
that's right.
keeping
that's right.
after it, keeping
Ian,
after it.
I wanted
and
to
then,
ask
you, like
would
you say,
you mind
if you're
if
encouraging
I mentioned
other
a few
people,
of my sponsors?
Then chances are you're going to be successful as
now,
well.
Now, one of them, Freak is honestly one of the most awesome sponsors. Canadian-based company. Everybody, please check them out. Like
Pharma
them.
Freak is
them
one
on
for
Twitter.
Sure. And who else?
Me and Kevin do a lot of the RX Muscle forum contest. So if you guys are also on rxmuscle.com, please log on to the forum and enter the contest for free product. It's a really great opportunity for you guys to get stuff for free. Fierceheart.org is where you guys can order Fierceheart clothing. A great company that is brand new, and they're actually blowing up right now. Ally's All Natural, a wonderful product used for prep. If you guys eat a lot of chicken during your prep, you're going to want this zero-calorie, zero-sugar barbecue sauce that is amazing. I will. I'll send you a bottle. Where was your new house again there, Ian?
I want some now. please do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to throw that out here on the air.
You know, today, I was in the parking lot, and I was telling you about that.
I get enough hate mail as it is,
I'd like
that's
to also,
without anybody knowing where
I
live.
Fat Fader. It's a topical lotion that has resveratrol, raspberry ketones. It's got green tea in it. It's actually one of the only products that has been proven to reduce the showings of cellulite and stuff like that. I know there's a lot of stuff out there right now trying to claim a lot of stuff. So everybody, please check them out, fatfader.com. Great topical lotion.
Excellent. Now, any other,
lastly, if you guys are looking for a sponsor, really figure out what are you going
to
use the sponsor for. Once you get this sponsor, are they just going to can you not afford your supplements? Can you not afford certain things? Like, as I addressed, I mean, I've got a few different types of sponsorships, and I'm working on a few others that are simply fitness products. So really look into what do you need? And what can the industry provide for you? And then go from there. If you endlessly look without a real path, it's going to be very hard for you to concentrate on what the end goal is. So do you need clothing? Do you need supplements? Do you need someone to pay for your travel? Figure these things out. And then when you're approached by a sponsor, you'll know what you want from them.
Well, and that's just it, and you'll find as you go along too, you'll end up at different levels in your career, where at one level you may just need you may be able to expect only, let's say, a small stipend when it comes to competition stipend, or you may get some supplements, or you may get a couple shirts. I mean, as you go along, and you build your book of work when it comes to your followers and your videos and blogs and all of this, then you will grow and expect more in return. But at the same time, before that happens, you're providing much more for the company.
That's,
so it's putting
exactly
the cart before the horse.
Right.
You have
Very
to
well
build
said.
The cart. You have to put that work out there, and then the horse, the company, comes along and picks you up.
Yes.
Well, we have Chris Villa coming on here later,
absolutely.
So before we
Man,
let you go, any final words, maybe
there.
A quick
Dude,
yell at Chris or something
before
we cut the rope here?
The dude is just doing it, man. I mean, I think if anyone is to talk about sponsors, he kind of like shadows me. I mean, the guy is incredible with network strength. He's doing a lot of good over there in the NYC. Please, everybody, please hit him up. Follow him and friend him on Facebook. Great motivator. Really, really intelligent. And one of the most incredible businessmen, and he's always got the rocket sneaks. So,
that's true. Very true. Well, Tim, thanks so much for joining us, and for our listeners, thanks for sticking with us to this point. Make sure you stay tuned. After this short commercial break, we'll be back with Chris Villa.
T28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. highproteinbread.com. P28 bread. RX Muscle approved. So are you from Australia, paying far too much for supplements with the inflating whey and amino prices? Why not check out the all-new RX Muscle Australia for the latest Australian and worldwide content and coverage. While you're there, check out Bulk Nutrient Supplement Store, the official supplement store for RX Muscle Australia. You can visit Bulk Nutrients at bulknutrients.com.au, your one-stop shop. And also check out the all-new rxmuscle.com.au. RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Welcome back to Physique Star Radio. Joining us now is Chris Villa. Chris, how are you this evening?
Well, I'm good, and you? How are you?
Doing well. So thanks for joining us here on the show. For our listeners that may not know, Chris has a number of different sponsorships and has been competing in the physique division as long as it's been around. And this year was no different. Could you let the listeners know how many shows you've done over the last 2 years?
I believe I did 9 shows this year. Pretty much, almost. I just did one local show and every other national show I could possibly do.
Yeah, I mean, you were getting up there, and I know that the first year you did a ton of shows as well. So, and that's one of the things about this game is getting back up on stage. And one of the differences between physique and bodybuilding is how frequently physique competitors tend to step on stage because we don't have that bulking phase and need to cut down as much. But you came out into an interesting or difficult situation here, which is something that I think is important for the competitors to understand and know when it's time to perhaps give the body a break. Could you tell the listeners a little bit about what happened as you went into the Nationals?
Pretty much. Obviously, I've been prepping since February. So, you know, it's going to be more than 9 months, 8 months or so. So, pretty much a week out from Atlanta, I pretty much was doing cardio and, you know, I was trying to be ahead of the game, which really messed me up was I pretty much passed out and fainted.
And what kind of cardio were you doing at the time?
I was just doing a step mill, actually, but I was doing like a really, really like fast intervals, and I had like obviously like a hoodie on and, you know, like a thermal underneath it, just trying to get rid of, you know, more water, more fat, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, you didn't get hurt in this. I mean, you didn't end up under the
tread. No, I actually didn't. It actually didn't happen to me during cardio. It happened to me when I got home. So, yeah.
Okay. So just the fatigue and the cumulative effect and then probably low blood sugar on top of all of it at the end.
I was doing something different on my diet, too. I was doing like more of a keto diet, so just like I had no carbs or nothing whatsoever as well.
Oh, yeah, man. Then you're definitely fortunate that your sugar didn't drop off too far.
Yeah.
Man, that's rough. That's rough. And that's something that, you know, these guys need to keep in mind as they are trying new things. Yes, it's important on occasion if you're hitting a plateau to try a different diet or to try some different training. But you do have to really be cautious, especially as you're, you know, 8-9 months into, I guess you would say, into competition phase or competition diet. That's a long time, and you had to be extra cautious at that point. But on a positive note, I mean, you've been able to really navigate your way through. I've seen you in a couple of the magazines lately, and you're doing really well in the industry. So what, I guess you're with P28. What are some of the other companies you're working
with
currently?
Right now, my main sponsor is P28. Also have like ProTan. They support me throughout the year for all my shows. Also have Muscle Egg, Six Pack, Chic, Eva Supplements out here in New York, Core 150 Shaker. They're going to be a new shaker company coming out next year. Oxygen for Energy, and you know, Flex Team Famous, Iron Militia. I think that's about it.
Now, what do these sponsorships provide for you? I mean, how do they help you in competing and perhaps getting into magazines or travel?
Well,
what do they do for you?
They help. I wouldn't be able to compete at all these shows throughout the year if it wasn't for their help, because obviously ProChan is almost at every show, so that covers cost on tanning, from, you know, saving money of $100 to tanning show, so forth. You know, Eva Supplements providing the supplements I need for the show. P28 Muscle Age, Sheik, and the rest of them pretty much help cover costs of travels, hotels, or whatever neck of the wood that I would need help in. As long as I represent the brand, you know.
Well, that's an important note. And a lot of guys are, you know, maybe they've done a couple shows, or maybe they've turned pro, and they think suddenly sponsorships are just going to start falling out of the sky to help pay their way. But it's something you have to. Now, occasionally something does happen like that, but you have to earn sponsorships. I mean, you need to provide value to the company in order for them to invest in you, because them paying your fee or let's say even if it's applying your tan, that's money out of their pocket where they would be making the money for you to use their service. So it's important to understand that. What would you say is one of the greatest values you bring, or something that's helped you along the way landing these sponsorships?
The fact that I just never say die kind of attitude that I have, that I just want to keep going. And, you know, I remain humble. I just know how to talk to people. I just try to, in the street, you just learn to just keep moving on and just remaining humble.
Well, and a couple of big things there, definitely. I mean, staying humble and then continuing and talking to people. I guess that was a few things instead of a couple things. But definitely, I mean, talking to people was so important. And a lot of times I think guys just say, well, here's a picture from my last show. Mm-hmm. I'm sweet. You should sponsor me. And they don't understand that a sponsorship is actually a relationship, not a sign the poster and you're done. So, I mean, obviously, this year is pretty much wrapped up when it comes to competing. So, what are you looking
for
next year?
Well, I already went to talk to Steve Weinberger and, you know, pretty much figure out a plan for me in 2013, which I went with one of my coaches, John Villarosa. We sat down with Steve, told him what's our best options, what shows should I, you know, think about doing that I didn't do this past year, and so forth. So he told me to start with the Metropolitans April 6th here in New York, and then possibly go to Chicago, Junior USA's, and then hopefully, you know, God willing, I'll go straight to the New York Pro from there.
There you go. Yeah,
so,
that
yeah,
sounds like a great plan.
One, two,
I like
three,
it.
That's it.
Well, because get in there, do it, get it done. Now I hear you, and for listeners that may be new to this game, there are some guys that, God bless them, they do one local show, they get qualified for nationals, they go to nationals, and they earn a pro card. So two shows later, they're allowed to step on a pro stage. Then there are other guys that have put in massive amounts of time and look great at every show, and it just takes longer. And sometimes, you know, the stars just need to line up right, and you never know when it's going to be your day. You just keep plugging away. And I hope, Chris, for you this year, I hope this year it is that 1-2 punch,
I'll be
and then you're on
the
pro stage.
The year for, bro.
I got to talk to P28. I do want to get out there. My first show will be the Grand Prix in Culver City, since it's next door. But I want to get over to the New York Pro for sure. That's another show
definitely.
I'd love to do if I can make it happen.
On stage with you.
There we go. Well, then they had a show in
Pittsburgh.
Oh,
yeah.
We both did that show last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, I think, was my first show of the year as well. It was a good show.
That was also a pro show, too.
Yeah, yep, there was a lot going on there. And it was an interesting show, and it was fascinating seeing – what I really like is when you start seeing the regionals or local show and pro shows going on at the same time, it's really neat seeing the mix of the IFBB guys, the NPC guys. And some of these NPC guys, you look at them like, man, this guy is you would expect him to be on the pro stage. And you're one of the guys that stepped on stage a number of times now, and it's like, okay – let's go. Let's get the right trophy. Let's do it. Call it a day.
I'm not gonna like some guys. You know, this Mrs. Eek's only been around for what? This is the second year now, and we're going to our third year.
2 years. Yes.
You know, there's bodybuilders. There's other people that've been in the sport doing it for almost their whole life. Whether it's 8 years, 6 years. Some of them are not even pro yet. Some of them. You know, turn pro right away. You know, God bless, like you said, God bless those that, you know, step on local stage, you know, then do a national stage and then turn pro. Then sometimes, you know, where are those pros competing at now? Some of them don't even compete. Like, once they turn pro, that's it. You might not see some of these guys, which pisses me off. So it's like, you know, what can you do about that?
Yeah. Well, you know, and I was talking with people about this before, and the two cards per class, I think, was a good idea, especially here in the first few years, because we need a large pool of pros. Because what happens is, if you don't have enough pros, they can't all make it to the shows, and you have to cancel shows. But now we're getting enough guys that I don't think we're going to see any more cancellations of shows once the year really gets underway, and these guys are showing up, and people are coming to watch. So, you know, once we get through that first phase, and then, like you said, you're going to have the guys that never compete, so you're going to have the guys that drop off, and that's going to happen. But I think you'll see a lot of the guys that stick it out and work hard to get there are going to stick with it once they make it. So I know you have big plans tonight. Can you let us know where you're going for Eats this evening?
I made some reservations over here in New York at a Peter Luger's Steakhouse. So, you know, enjoying this off season a little bit.
You know what? It's only a 34-hour commute. I can be there in no time at all. I can be there by the time this thing goes live. I'll be there.
Oh man.
Well, I'm glad you're able to join us on the show tonight, and enjoy your meal tonight, and best of luck prep as well. I'm sure I'll be talking to you soon before too long passes anyway. But any final words you'd like to shout out to our listeners?
I just
want to
thank all my sponsors once again. Obviously, P28 being on top of that, along with everybody else like ProTam, Muscle Eggs, and so forth. And, you know, just to everybody that always keeps asking me about, you know, I don't know how you do it and pros don't do it. You just got to remember who you talk to in this industry. And, you know, just remember you leave a good impression with certain people. They'll remember it.
Well, that's just it. First impression, and make sure you're leaving. Yeah. The impression you leave is one that
pretty much
is worthy of being left. And today, people don't really give out business cards as much. And if they do, you want it to be one, and I say the business cards, but you want what you leave to make them want to hold on to that card, not where can I dump this thing?
Like, oh, who is this? All right, never mind.
Exactly.
I remember this annoying kid.
This guy. Well, again, Chris, thanks for joining us on the show. And to our listeners here on Physique Star Radio, thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to having you back with us here next week. See ya.
This has been another episode of Physique Star Radio, exclusively on RxMuscle.com. Be sure to visit myotropics.com for the most innovative physique nutrition supplements available today.